Our first verse comes from 2 Samuel. Listen to these words. When the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Look, I'm living in a cedar palace, but God's chest is a house and a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go ahead and do whatever you are thinking, because the Lord is with you." But that very night, the Lord's word came to Nathan, "Go to my servant David and tell him, 'This is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build the temple for me to live in. In fact, I haven't lived in a temple from the day I brought Israel out of Egypt until now. Instead, I've been traveling around in a tent and in a dwelling. Throughout my traveling around with the Israelites, did I ever ask any of Israel's tribal leaders I appointed to shepherd my people, 'Why haven't you built me a cedar temple?' So then, say this to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. I took you from the pasture, from following the flock, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've eliminated all your enemies before you. And I will make your name great, like the name of the greatest people on earth. I'm going to provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they may live there and no longer be disturbed. Cruel people will no longer trouble them as they had been earlier when I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. And the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a dynasty for you, and when the time comes for you to die and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your descendant, one of your very own children, to succeed you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build the temple for my name, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me." This is the first reading. A little out of practice after being at camp all week. Our next lesson comes from Ephesians. So remember, once you were Gentiles by physical descent who were called uncircumcised by Jews who were physically circumcised. And at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenants of God's promise. And in this world, you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group, and with his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. And when he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today is one of my favorite days because we're having communion. And as I was reflecting on that this morning while running around doing a whole bunch of other stuff, I was wondering why it is that communion means so much to me. And there's a few reasons. One is it's that one time where we truly all kind of serve one another as we're passing the plates back and forth, and it doesn't matter, you know, we've got parents serving kids and kids serving parents and young serving old and rich and all sorts of classes serving each other, and that's a wonderful thing. But my favorite part, I think, is when communion is over and the table is messy and there's crumbs on the floor, and that part is the part I like, because that's the part that's like family. Because I don't know about y'all, but my dinner table never looks this prepared. Even if it's a fancy meal, it's just not going to get there. And afterwards, when everyone's had a great, you know, we've all filled ourselves and there's been, you know, milk spilled over here and bread strewn everywhere and the crumbs are all over the floor, that's where it feels like family's been there. Not when it's all prepared to begin with. It's kind of why I like the end of worship more than the beginning of worship, because at the end we're all talking to each other and the bulletins are kind of left on the pews and stuff's kind of everywhere, and sure, we look messy. We're not that prepared people when we first came in, when we all hold our bulletin very close as we walk to our particular pew and we sit down. You know, it's all different. The hymnals might be strewn around. The worship bags are kind of everywhere. There's little pieces of paper. And it reminds me of where our home truly is. See, we always, I build my home in different places. Now, you know, I have different places that I feel comfortable in. And you all do too. We all do. We have there's our own home, there's our places, our Sunday school class that we feel particular about, our organizations we feel particular about, our thoughts that we feel particular about, our political party, whatever, our denomination. And we build our homes in those places. And we assume God's there too. And we try really hard to make sure that we shoehorn God into those places. But God doesn't want any of that. God wants to walk with the people. God wants not for some place or ideology or whatever to be home, but rather for us to be the homes. And if I'm a home for God, then you're a home for God, and you're a home for God. Well, suddenly all these little boxes we make for God seem kind of stupid. And it's interesting that in this story read from Samuel this morning, that the guy who's supposed to know what God thinks, Nathan, is the one who sort of messes it up. Because David says, I'm going to build God a temple. And Nathan says, yeah, you go do that. God's on your side. And then God comes to Nathan and says, about that, I don't want a temple. But if anyone's going to build it, it's not going to be David. So let's just settle that right now. And that's a good reminder for ministers that we don't always know what God wants. We're supposed to be listening to what God wants from us. We're supposed to be open to what God, not just assume, oh, I live in a nice house, I'm going to build God a nice house. When God might be saying something entirely different. Like, I'm not comfortable with nice houses. I like rundown houses. I'm out there with the homeless. Why do you think I need a house? And that brings us back here. Because this is our sign of what God's house looks like. It's that place where everybody gets to come. There's no membership pass on the door. It is, if you believe in Christ, guess what? Come on down. There's no filtering system. There's no catechism that I make you recite before you get here to make sure you are decently and orderly in the right thought, theologically processed. Can't even say that sentence. There's nothing here. It is an open table for all y'all get to come. And at the end, it is messy. When God's done with it, see, this is us having set it up, and it is lovely, and Jermaine, you do a great job with it. But at the end, when God's done with it, it's a mess. There's crumbs, and wine is spilled, and the cups are empty, and it's a mess. But we've all been fed. The great part's done in the mess. And we have to learn to get comfortable with that. We've got to learn to be comfortable living in homes that are a bit of a mess, but that's okay because God is there. And when, let's face it, when God gets involved with stuff, things become messy. When God gets involved with stuff, you might be called to go live in another country. You might be called to go and serve in a hospital where there's sickness and germs. You might be called to go work with little children where there's sickness and germs. And sticky fingers. You might be called to go speak and you will be called to love people who are different than you. And it's never clear cut. It's messy. Because homes are messy. But if Christ is the cornerstone, and if the table is the reflection of the home we live in, then that's okay. Because this place is always available for us to come and be filled. Christ is always there to be the example and to show us the way. And it's okay for things to get messy and to not be prepared. That's all right. Because if God is the one leading us and Christ is the foundation for what we are doing, and we remember that this is our sign of the kingdom, this is what we're all working towards, then the mess is okay. Because God's in the center of it. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.